Romans 12, even though I'm not going to really preach out of that, I want to just start with Romans 12, 2, and it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. So Paul, he had an encounter with God. He's a great example of transformation. I asked the Lord what to preach on. He showed me Paul's conversion, so we're going to go in there. I'm going to read that in a minute. But as we do, you know, as you talk about transformation, sometimes you think of like the butterfly. That's a great way because a caterpillar, you know, become a butterfly. That's some serious transformation. Somebody say amen. Have you ever had those little worms eat in your garden and you just want to squish them, but you know they're going to become something beautiful? You squish them anyway. Is that what's going on? No, I'm just messing. I don't care. The next one's never going to be a butterfly. But anyway, you know, even in that transformation, when you go from the caterpillar worm stage and it goes into the chrysalis, what happens? It just kind of goes into this jelly form, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just kind of, it goes from caterpillar, but it first goes to like jelly. And then it goes into, well, it goes into the chrysalis. It's like kind of jelly. Well, guess what? When you get born again, that's what you kind of go through this jelly. It's like, Jesus, thank you. I'm born again. I mean, I had stuff coming out of my nose and eyes, and I was like, when I got born again, when you get transformed, at the very beginning of your transformation, there is a stage where you're just like jelly. Somebody say jelly. But there's different processes, and from that process, there was a chrysalis. Then from the chrysalis, there had to be a process to get out of the chrysalis, and then to come, and the wings to be formed, and the blood to flow, and then for the butterfly to fly. There's all kinds of processes in the midst of our transformation. So transformation starts at salvation, but it happens throughout our whole Christianity. And sometimes we can get stuck. We're never meant to be stuck. We're meant to keep going. So Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He asked for these letters to go to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any that were Christians or of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he journeyed and he came near to Damascus. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So whenever they had an encounter with God, it was typical in the old covenant that they would fall to the ground. That was typical. And these people had an encounter and they all fell to the ground, everyone around him. Probably Saul was walking out ahead of the bunch because the crew that would have been with him to arrest them, being a Pharisee, he couldn't even hang out with the crew that was sent with him to go capture the people. So even though he had them, there was probably a little bit of a distance because they were so religious, he wouldn't even like walk next to them. It had to be like a little separation, too much information. But basically, Paul hits the ground, they hit the ground from where they are, and this light shines around him, and he hears this, and then he says, after he hears, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Isn't it interesting that religious people, the minute that they say, he says, I am Jesus, he says, what do you want me to do? He says, who are you? I'm Jesus. What do you want me to do? See, religion's always saying, what can I do, instead of who do you want me to be? And God wanted to deal with who he was before he dealt with what he needed to do. Two people got that one. So God wants to deal with who you are before he deals with what you're to do. But there is stuff for us to do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul rose from the ground, and when he did, his eyes were open. He saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire of the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of this man and about how this man and how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priest that all who call upon your name, you know, basically to put them all in jail, to bind them. And the Lord said, go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. He arose and was baptized, and when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogue, that is the Son of God. And all the people were amazed at that. So he gets saved, gets born again, gets baptized, immediately starts preaching Christ. Someone say immediately. If you want to stay in the transformation process and not get stuck, share your faith. Yeah. Teresa says amen. Two evangelists agreed. Everybody else is like, what? See, Paul's transformation started with one word. What's the word? Repent. Nope, you had the answer right, so it's good. Repent. So basically, we need to understand that transformation starts at repentance. And because of God's love for us and his goodness, that he loves us so much that he sent his son, who couldn't repent when they learn of God's great love? It isn't repent, you're going to burn in hell like a crispy critter and you're all going to blah, blah, blah. How about God loves you so much his son died for you so you could go to heaven if you repent of your sins, stop doing that. You know, it's like, he had an encounter, and he needed a life change because his life was going on a train wreck. He's heading in the wrong direction. He's out trying to kill and persecute Christians and jail Christians. But what he said was really important, and this is one of the greatest questions to all humankind today. He said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? This is the question of the ages. Who are you, Lord? So the first thing I want to talk about is to know his will. If you know him, you'll know his will. Who are you, Lord? If you know him, you can know his will. Everyone says, I want to know the will of the Lord. Well, then know him. I could just about tell you what Teresa's going to order when we go to eat. I could just about tell you. Sometimes I know the very restaurant when I'm saying, hey, let's meet, let's go here. And I could pick it out. Why? Because because I know her. You know what I mean? Sometimes I even pick out the clothes she's wearing. I'm going, you look really good on this. I'm getting points. Guys are like, you go shopping? No, I go hunting and hear the Lord. I'm getting out of there as soon as I can. I am hunting for what she's looking for. I'm going to bag it, and we're going to get out of here quick because I'm going to hear God. Boom, boom, boom. This is why I like this. Bingo. Got some stuff. We bagged it. Let's get going. But I so forgot what I was saying now. She's like, I don't know how you got into shopping. Somebody needed to hear that. That was my out. So we need to know him. Who are you, Lord? Isn't that what everyone's asking? Isn't that what false religions are doing? Aren't they going to these false religions trying to find out who God is? And is he this? Is he that? Is he this? You have the answer. Who are you, Lord? And the word of God transforms us to know him and to know his will. But knowing's not enough. Just to know it isn't enough. Just to know how to fix my car is not going to fix my car. I can get the how-to for dummies and get something, and knowing it, if I don't put the wrench to it, it's not going to help. Knowing how to cook a meal isn't going to prepare dinner. Huh? We're hungry. Yeah, I'm watching the cooking channel. I'm getting more hungry. There needs to be some action to what? Are you here? Guys, amen me. Come on. Guys, are you hungry men? Say amen. Hey, Matthew 7:24. So this is what Jesus said. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So we hear, we have to do. Hearing and doing. We have to know him and do something with what we know. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, he'll be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rains descended, floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. A lot of people falling. Even the sign of the time we live in, it says, is that there'll be a great falling away, a great apostasy. Apostasy just means, it's a fancy word for falling away. They leave their post. They were supposed to be doing this for God, and they left their post. They're supposed to be the man of the house. He left his post. Supposed to be the woman of the house. He left their post. Supposed to be, they're leaving their post because there's something that's happening. But Jesus gave us the answer. And Paul was saying, who are you, Lord? And here he's given this. And when you look at Matthew 7, here's a good devotion. Tomorrow, go into Matthew 7 and read Matthew 7. Read everything Jesus said before this. Read the text in context. And what you'll see is that whole Matthew 7, he's talking about transformation. He's talking about how he's presenting. So Jesus presents two options. He says you can build on the rock or you can build on sand, right? The first option that he's presenting is building on the rock. What is the rock? It's Jesus, but it's the truth Jesus was presenting. He was saying, here, you can build on these truths. What were the truths? Look at the whole text in context. It's all on transformation. It's on us. It's saying, like, it's for us. So he's talking about these transformation truths, and then he's telling us that these storms are going to come, and some people are going to get crushed, and some people aren't. What's the difference? Transformation. And what's the difference on transformation? Transformation is because people, they applied what Jesus said. We can see a person who's broken, and it can be an invitation to go pray for them to be healed. If they need deliverance, or if they're sick, they need healing. If they're downcast, they need joy. We can see it and be a sign to help bring the answer, or we can just like avoid it. And we need to apply what we learn. And if we apply what we're learning, it results in transformation, not just education. Catch this. Education without application is useless. Education without application is useless. Yet education with application, it's transformation. And what Jesus was saying is he had Pharisees and he's saying, listen, you can take all these truths and apply them and actually love the people, or you can just memorize, we're to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and don't love them. And this is what you have. You can build on the rock or the sand. He was presenting two options. And these people had education. They were highly educated. They knew the word of God. Cults know the word of God. They can say the word of God. You can have education and learn about him and not apply him. And Jesus was saying, no, that's not the rock. He came and demonstrated, no, I'm going to be the word and I'm going to show you because I'm going to be love in action. I'm going to stop and pray for the sick. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to just teach you to heal. I'm going to show you heal. I'm not just going to teach you people should be free and delivered. We're going to deliver some folk. I'm not going to just say you should feed them. Let's multiply some bread and do a miracle and let's feed them. I'm not just going to say, you know, you shouldn't condemn when everyone's ready to stone. I'm going to stop the stoning by just kind of flipping this around and saying, he's without sin, throw the first stone. Where your accusers, Jesus taught it, but he walked it. Yeah. And if we want transformation, we have to walk out what we're learning. And we'll get transformation because education with application is transformation, but not just transformation for you, it's transformation for the nations. Yeah. Did you catch that? Yeah. It starts with ours. It starts with our city, our town, our region, our state, our nation. Starts right where you are. But we got to go to the nations. And if you want to transform nations, you got to start right here. If you want to transform a region, last week I told you, the region starts with this region right here. It starts in here. Now, Paul gets transformed, and we all talk about he got knocked off his high horse, knocked on the ground, whatever. I don't know, walking, standing, riding, whatever. He was on the ground. That was the first part. He got jellied. But later, he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Let's read some of the words he wrote later after he wasn't in a low point, but he's in a high point. If you were tracking high and low point, how many know you have high and low points in your life? You have mountaintops and you have valleys where you're like, God, bring me back to the heights. Okay, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That I may know him. Wait a minute, Paul, I thought you knew him. If anyone knows him, you've planted churches, you've rocked cities. Look what you did at Ephesus. The whole city gets flipped. You've just like done all this, and now you're saying that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And by any means, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it. And if anyone could say they've obtained it, he could have said it. And this is what I really appreciate about some of the people, some of my heroes we get to run with. Some of the greatest revelation teachers, some of the greatest power teachers and prophetic people. I love it when they have that humility to say, I haven't got it, I haven't arrived. I still press every day like, I want to know God. I want to hear you. I want more God. I want that humility is just like, I like that better than the fame. That really is something to me. And not that I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself as apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. One person, amen me. Forgetting the things that lie behind. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching for those things ahead. If you don't forget that stuff behind you, you can't reach forward to what God's got for you. You got to forget it. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. He starts with, in verse 10, that I may know him. And then verse 14, I press towards that goal, the prize of that upward call. It starts with knowing him, and yet there's a constant in his life where he's in a process. Knowing is the beginning of transformation, but it's also constant in the transformation process. I'm trying to speak quick to get you to go get your burritos. Am I going too fast? No, I want carne asada. Preach faster. Gosh. Knowing is the beginning, but knowing is also a constant in the transformation process. And when I stop making knowing the target, I stop the process. So the next thing is to see the just one. He said, a light shine around him. Can you imagine just seeing this light, seeing Jesus? How about John when Jesus walked in and he hears the voice, he turns around and he sees eyes of flame of fire and John's out on his face. How about Daniel on the bank of the river? How about, oh my goodness, can you imagine the light of God comes in? He's just like, boom, they're all on their face. Wow. But we have to see the just one. We have to see Jesus. We have to look towards the one. He said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. And so we need to constantly keep that. Acts 9, we were in that experience when he was saying that. We need to constantly look towards the just one. We need to constantly look towards the one. I mean, think about it. I know these reality shows and all this. I didn't watch a lot of TV, but this one caught my eye. It was this bounty hunter guy. You know, and this guy's like all big and bad and brave. How many know if you're going to go in to get someone who's, you know, has already skipped bail on jail, you're going to some hardcore places. You better be bad to the bone. And this guy goes in there and they're arresting people. You know, and all this stuff. And I like that. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Anyway, so that's what Paul reminded me of. Paul's got the badge. He got the letters from the religious people. He's going to Damascus like bounty hunter status. You know what I mean? He's big and bad and bold. And he's like, you know what I mean? He's Saul. And he's like, I got the badge, baby. I got the bat. Get on the ground. You know what I mean? He's going to go get some Christians up against the wall, you know, and I don't know. That's Oceanside. I'm remembering, but whatever, you know, that's what I picture. He's like bounty hunter, all big and brass and bad. But how many know when he walked into Damascus, he was like jelly. He met God on the road and God took him from bounty hunter to like blind and humble. And he's walking in like this. He's blind. He went in the gates as humble. I don't think he expected to do that. But I got to tell you, he got transformed. And when we're being in the midst of something, transformation, we need to look towards that one. We need to look past our circumstance, look past the things we're at. And transformation, transformed minds see things differently. I mean, think about Paul. Paul later becomes this mighty man of God, and he was jelly then, but he ended up being like this man of God, and he's on the island, and the ship is like getting tossed in the ocean, and he's like, God, what do you think? God says, no one's going to die. So he's bold. No one's going to die. And everybody's like, no one's going to die. Look at the ocean. This is bad. We're all going to be good. And he became bold because he looked to the one. He looked to Jesus and said, are we going to die? He said, no. He said, we aren't going to die. Because this ocean is not more powerful than my God. So he looked to the one and he got the word. So he knew he had the word so he could walk in boldness. And then he gets to the shore and they're getting the fire and he gets some sticks to help. And it's good to help. And he puts some sticks on the fire and a snake jumps out, bites him. He's got an asp on his arm. Instead of looking at the snake, how many know if you look at a snake, that's scary? Fear can come. I've been there on Africa where I like stepped on a rock. Weeds were about this high. I'm stepping on a rock and I hear asp or viper. Don't want to be around. I just skip to the next rock, skip to the next rock, skip to the next rock. I thought you were like, you know, all this. Hey, asp. I'm running, baby. I just skip to the next rock. It's on your arm. You die when they bite you. My friends in Africa said, I said, what happens if a black mamba bites you? He said, get to the shade. I said, what's that do? It just helps so no one else smells the dead body. It won't rot us back. Basically, you're going to die. There's nothing you're going to do. I'm like, I like you, man. You guys are good. This is a bad coaching right there. So then the guy had sunglasses on. We were out there when I was skipping the rocks, and he's got sunglasses on. I said, afterwards, why do you wear sunglasses? I'm like, he said, because of spitting cobras, they spit in your eyes, you get blinded. I'm thinking, I had sunglasses in the car. I could have worn mine. That'd have been nice to tell me before I was skipping around on rocks where there's asps and spitting cobras. But basically, how many of you know asps, spitting cobras, all the snakes? How many of you guys are already like, creeping me out, shut up? Fear comes when you look at the snake. So what's the answer? He looked to the one. If you get this, you're going to get fear. It might not be an asp or a black mamba. It could be your whoever. But you're going to have fear. It's the same thing. Can you look past the fear to the just one? Can you look to the one where you go, asp, Jesus? We had a raging ocean. That didn't take us. This little snake, you're no match for my God. Shook it into the fire, shook it off. And he went and said, we got an island to save. Let's get some people saved. And all these people get rocked and saved. And they rock the whole island. Are you with me? Yeah. But you got to have the ability to look to the one when you're in a crazy spot. When you're in church, it's like, look to the one. Glory, hallelujah. Can you look to him? Yeah. I need Andrew playing. I need the choir singing. And when everything's in that zone, I can look to the one. The heavens open up. Angels are singing. How about when you got a snake on your arm? How about when witch doctors are cursing you and your face is all swelling up? Messing with my friend. Huh? How about when it's like when people are threatening to arrest you? How about when there's trouble? How about when you're facing somebody saying, I'm dying of AIDS? Do you look to the one who has power over sin and death, who has the power of life? See, you go, well, this is easy. This is sandbox. You got to like learn it. Then you got to walk it out. So we act differently when we look to the one. So one, we got to know him, then we got to look, and we look to that one. And the last one is we got to hear the voice of his mouth. He was trembling. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, arise, go to the city. I'll tell you what I want you to do. And that's part of it, part of that metamorphosis. See, metamorphosis is to exchange. It actually is a compound word. Meta means exchange, and morpho is as a person's outward form. Together, it means to transform the outward appearance, but it starts with a voice on the inside that transforms the outside. We got to hear. So one, I just talked about we got to see the just one, and then the third one is we need to learn to hear his voice. And just to wrap this up, we'll wrap it all up here because I know I'm over. Here we go. 24 minutes, you're doing good. Look at someone next to you. Say, you're doing good. Here we go. We're in the stretch. A few minutes. Here it is. Okay? In Acts 22. So if you read this, you can read the account in Acts 9, Acts 22, and I think it's Acts 26. There's three accounts of this same thing as Paul talked about it. You think he was telling Agrippa, and he's talking about it in different situations. So here it is, Acts 22. And the way that Hebrew writers, and the way that they wrote is they would write and they would take and they would write it in multiple times and they'd kind of expand and make it look a little different in each one so it wasn't the exact. That's why there's a little expansion, different things. So TMI, here we go. Acts 22:12. And a certain Ananias, devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews, dwelt there. He came to me and he stood and he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And that same hour I looked at him. And then he said, the God of our fathers, listen to this. This is it. It's in this verse, 14, Acts 22:14. Here's the whole sermon. Then he said, the God of our father has chosen you. Say, he's chosen me. Say, he's chosen me, Dina. You're like, I'm the only one who didn't say it, and he picked me off out of the crowd. I know you were writing. I'm just messing with you. I get to do that. I have the mic. The God of our fathers has chosen you. If we had to settle that before we hear what he's saying, because if you don't realize he chose you, not just Paul, not just me, not just the pastors, all of us, you're all kings and priests unto God. We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. You've been born again into a family. You're a king's kid. You are a son and daughter of the king. You are chosen. You are called, and you are chosen, and you have stuff, and he's called you to do stuff, but we got to get these three things for us to do the things. So here's the punchline. Here's where it all comes together. Here's where he says, God the Father has chosen you that you should what? Know his will. Say it with me. That you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. If we get, okay, he went through all these things and a vision to Ananias, and Paul saw the vision of him. All that came together, just like Ephesians 2:10. He's prepared good works for us to walk into. He's prepared them for you to walk into. And what did he say? It's important. What did he say to him? This is what he said. Know his will, see the just one, hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men. If you want to be the witness, if you want to be transformed, if you want to take it from information to application, if you want to see real transformation keep going in your life, we need to know him, know his will, see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth, and then we'll be his witness. To know him, how do we do that? We read. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We take it. We renew our mind, and we're transformed, and our minds get transformed to think it. Then when we're out in the world, we get to do it. And as we do it, our education becomes, we apply it, and education and application becomes transformation. And then you get rocked, and you're never the same. Then you keep doing it because that's just what you do. And then we see, we need to look and be observant. We need to ask God what he's doing. We need to look when we're praying for people, because it's not always the same. You know, like I was saying, like, you know, one service, one service we go out to pray for people. Another service, people come forward. Another time, because we're asking God. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do I see you? Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. You need to learn to look towards him. And then once we see the just one, and then we can hear his voice. So we need to learn and look and be observant, ask God what he's doing and hear his voice. My sheep, hear my voice. We need to hear the voice of the master. His voice is speaking. He said he wouldn't restrict you from hearing. But those people sent those elders up the mountain, and even at the beginning we saw green because they got to go into the throne of heaven. They got to go on that sea of glass. Why? Because they went. Other people were like, you can't see God, you'll die. No, you get to see God and you won't die. You get to hear his voice and you won't die. On the contrary, you'll live. There's a banquet waiting for you. Oh, Jesus, would you stand with me? It's out there. The psalmist said, thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word I've hidden in my heart. Will you just take it down? Just swallow it down. Just take it down. God, I pray this word would hit their hearts. I pray, God, this word would result in taking what they know into applying it. I pray for transformation process. And I just want to pray, if you'd just bow your heads for a second, I pray that you'd get those who are stuck unstuck. I pray, God, where the process has slowed, I pray you'd put it on steroids. I pray you'd kick it into motion. I pray, God, that you'd just put them into action. I pray, God, that their action would have a whole new meaning as they take and know you and then apply it by looking to you and listening for your voice as they go and act. They are your witnesses. They're your witnesses in the job place. They're your witnesses in the marketplace. They're your witnesses in the neighborhoods. They are your witnesses, and he's called you just like he called Saul, who he called Paul. He's called you, and he gave you those three training tips today. He gave you, this is it. We get to know him and take, at whatever degree you know him, you take that and you release what you know. And as you release it and you look to him and say, and as you look and see, he'll show you and he'll speak to you. And then that transformation just leads where you get addicted and you can't stop. You can't stop sharing him because of the love that you have for people. You can't stop when people are broken praying because God heals them. You get to be a partner, a co-heir to work with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I pray right now that you release those that are stuck. I pray that you break off every hindrance. And now I just speak to that lie right now that they can't know you. I break off that lie that says somehow you've done too much, you've sinned too much, you're not good enough. While you were still a sinner, Christ died. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He already did the work on the cross, and we get to receive the fruit. We are forgiven based on what he did. And now we get to go do what he did based on the love of God that flows in us and to us, and based on back on our love that God, we get to reflect the great love you have for us to other people. But it comes here first. So God, hit this region first, hit the territory of their heart. I pray you just melt hearts today. I pray if anyone needs to get jelly them, God. If anybody, whatever stage they're in, if they need to go, if there's time to stretch your wings, stretch your wings. Stretch your wings. Do you know that when the butterfly stretches its wings, as it pushes out of that chrysalis, as it pushes out, that the blood flows to the wings, and as the butterfly starts to flap its wings, the blood flows so that the butterfly's wings are fully developed so it can fly? Do you know that as you start to stretch out, would you stretch out spiritually? Would you start to stretch out the region of your faith? Would you stretch out your faith? Would you stretch out your hands for someone to be healed? Would you stretch out your hand in a handshake and lead someone to Jesus Christ? Would you stretch out? If you stretch out, then the blood will flow and you'll get fully developed. Would you get fully transformed? Would you stay in that transformation process like Paul and say, that's my target, that's my goal, is to continually know him. God, I just thank you for every person here and for your spirit. I thank you for your impartation on their lives. And I pray right now, God, if there's anyone in this building who doesn't know him, I pray they would not leave here without getting to know you. We don't need to be knocked down. We don't need to be, Lord, go through a great trial or a shipwreck to know you. God, we want to know you. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're not going to heaven, why would you leave these doors? Why would you leave questioning your faith? Make it sure. The Bible says these things are written so that you could know and that you can have eternal life. The whole Bible, these everything I've been preaching today is so that you could know about heaven and have eternal life. I'm just a messenger of some great news, but it's God who's paved the way. And all you have to do is receive him and say, Jesus, forgive my sins. If everybody's head bowed all over the room, if you're here and you say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, I'm not sure, and I want to, would you just look up at me and just raise your hand and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to know today. Just look up and say, that's me. I want to. Just say, that's me right here. Right here. Amen. You can put your hand down, sir. Anyone, just say, anyone else, just say, here I am right here. I want to know. I don't want to. Maybe you say, well, I prayed that prayer, but I don't know. I want to be sure. Even if you wonder, would you just raise your hand and say, I'm going to make it sure today. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want to go to heaven. I want that. If you're here and you say, man, I know I'm going to heaven. I've prayed that prayer, but I feel like I've been stuck in that transformation process, and I'm going to grow. I'm going to stretch out my wings. I'm going to stretch out my faith. I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply and step out with what I've heard and what I've learned, and I'm going to turn my education into application. If that's you, just raise your hand. Somebody, I think half the room could raise their hand. Just, am I preaching something that hit you today? That's probably a bad thing to say, just raise your hand. How about we raise two hands and 2 feet and we'll all fall over? But I just want to pray right now all over the room. Would you pray this prayer with me, please? And I know it's a solemn prayer and I just kind of joke because that's my way. But would you just pray and say, Father, forgive me. Everyone all over the room, say, Father, forgive me. Today I receive your forgiveness. It's real. Transform me. Fill me with your spirit. Power to be transformed. Fill me with your spirit to transform others. Now I just want to pray a prayer of you. I pray that they would just leak the love of God. I pray they would overflow with the love of God. I pray the love of God would compel them to bring people into his house. I pray to bring people into his kingdom, to love on people enough to pray for their healing, to pray for their deliverance, to love on, to help, to bless, to feed, to give. I pray that your love would overflow. And I thank you, God, for releasing it. And I pray right now for the wings. If you could just lift up your hands if you feel comfortable with that. I pray that their wings would be stretched out like that butterfly. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ would flow. I pray you'd stretch out their faith to do beyond where they've been. I pray you'd stretch them out and let the blood of Jesus just fully develop them, because there's new territory God wants you to go to, and you have to take risks and stretch out. You have to step out. You have to stretch out your faith. So I pray you would do it And I thank you, God, as you meet him there in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God some praise? If you got anything good today, he's the one. Oh, he's so good.